1.5 FM, Willoughby, Cleveland.
Fantasy sports lovers, you put so much time, hard work, and effort into playing week to week that it quickly stops being a fantasy and starts getting real. Real time. Making real decisions, creating real victory.
I'm the greatest man in the world!
And when the smoke clears, you want to show off those victories with a real prize.
I mean, a really real prize.
Yeah.
Nobody does that like Fantasy Jocks. The crew over at Fantasy Jocks have beautiful, high-quality, and heavy-duty championship belts, rings, trophies, and so much more for all your fantasy sports needs.
The trophy's 12 feet high, and it is glorious!
Football, baseball, hoops, you name it, they have it. Plus, they have awesome draft kits and party supplies to make all your preseason activities the envy of everyone. If your league needs a ring, belt, or trophy, or you want to upgrade what you already have, there's literally only one place to go. If you're going to be a fantasy jock, do it right.
It's mine, the most magnificent belt ever created, and it's mine.
With America's Fantasy Sports Superstore, FantasyJocks.com.
WINT listeners, Jay Rock Daddy, one of the hosts of the brand new sports talk show here on WINT, The Dash, heard weekdays, 6:30 p.m. across the Integrity Radio Network. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to wait until 6:30 every day to be a part of The Dash. Follow us across social media right now at The Dash WINT. It's at The Dash WINT. It's that simple. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for The Dash WINT. Follow us and interact today. Dash to the social media and join us 6:30 every weekday right here on WINT, Integrity Radio.
Guess whose birthday it is today?
It's time to hear which WINT listeners in the birthday club are celebrating their birthdays today.
August 31st, birthday wishes go out to Christine Baum, Sandra Balazs, Haley Bondi, Michelle Brandt, Craig Brown, Ozzie Bryman, Frank Daniels, Jim Dickinson, Eugene Fesco, Kathy Fischel, Scott Habel, Donna Hawk, Sarah Henning, Chris Hetman, Katie Hovlick, Tony Hunter, Carol Jones, Joe Clemensic, Lisa Kokab, Shelby Kokab, Kendall Martis, Casey Matthews, Deborah Matko, Sue McCauley, Morgan Myers, Aaron Moses, Anthony Rufo, Rose Silva, Gene Susek, Phyllis St. John, Janelle Unger, Alanta Walters, Ray Wargo, Doug White.
And the birthday person is probably...
Carol Camo. Congratulations, Carol. You've won a fresh rose or $5 off any floral purchase from Plant Magic Florist and Irish Crossroads Gift Shop in Willoughby. A happy birthday premium chocolate bar from Brandt's Canned also in Willoughby. A free mini blizzard cake or 6 Busta bars from Dairy Queen in Willoughby or Men Are on the Lake. And finally, Carol, you've won a $5 gift certificate from the Great Harvest Bread Company in Men Are.
You too can join the WINT Birthday Club.
One, two. Happy birthday to you.
Just visit WINTradio.com.
WINT is now on 101.5 FM. Louder, cleaner, bigger, and better. WINT is now on 101.5 FM. Nighttime, daytime, anytime. WINT is now on 101.5 FM. Hannity, Ingram, Ramsey, and Lash. WINT is now on 101.5 FM. WINT, 101.5 FM.
High school football is just getting started. And as always, you can join WINT Integrity Radio for the Friday Night Fireworks. Join us for... versus the Minner Cardinals. And remember to... Brought to you by Pat O'Brien Chevrolet, Dominion Energy Ohio, Notre Dame College, and Napa Auto Parts on WINT, the new 101.5 FM and 1330 AM.
Welcome to The Dash, where we bring you up to speed on everything sports.
Touchdown! We've been waiting for it to break the big one, but he saved it.
Stutter steps, he launches a three.
And now your hosts, Nick Hershey, Jerry Myers, and Thomas Pope, right here on WINT Integrity Radio, the new 101.5 FM, 1330 AM, and WINTRadio.com.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome, everybody. We are back. We are live. Yes, you may have just heard us an hour ago. on the air. It's the Dash XL edition, 8 to 9 p.m. here live on WINT Integrity Radio, the new 101.5 FM, 1330 a.m. and WINTRadio.com. Yours truly, J-Rock Daddy, Jerry Myers, alongside Nick Hershey and Thomas Pope, back in the studios of WINT, and you guys locked in with us for a solid hour here as we roll through talking all the local sports, high school football previews galore, as we've got a couple of big games going on here. There's games going on right now. The Ohio State Buckeyes, the Cleveland Browns wrapping up the preseason. We're going to talk Indians and Cavaliers and so much more with you. First off, fellas, how's everybody doing? Back in the saddle here, 8 o'clock.
Hey, it's always good to be in there for the long haul, J-Rock. How about you, Thomas?
O-H-I-O.
Not bad.
And we want to hear from you guys. It's not just about how we're doing tonight. It's how you guys are, because you help drive the conversation here, and we want you to get behind the wheel right now. Pick up the phone and give us a call, 440-946-9468, 440-946-WINT, or hit us up across our vast array of social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. How do they do this, Mr. Hershey?
And here we go. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or heck, why not all three? The Dash WINT, that's at the Dash WINT for all three platforms. While you're there, go ahead and drop us a line in our inbox, because you want to get in on this fantasy football challenge we have going, not just for the fun of it, but hey, we've got a pretty sweet grand prize going to the winner, boys.
Got that right. You're referring to the Fantasy Football Challenge on the Dash, brought to you by our good friends at FantasyJocks.com, America's fantasy sports superstore, a 14-team fantasy football league. Interactive with us here on the show. 11 listeners, lucky listeners, chosen to play alongside the three of us in this year's Fantasy Football League. And the winner of the big game is going to win the big gold belt, a championship belt, just like you've seen. You saw Floyd Mayweather win the money belt, which, fellas, we didn't even talk about that. I have to ask some questions about that here in just a minute. But you see him in the UFC, mixed martial arts, boxing, pro wrestling, championship belts all over. We've got one going to the winner of the Dash Fantasy Football Challenge, brought to you by FantasyJocks.com, America's fantasy sports superstore. All you have to do, as Nick said, is get a hold of us on our social media. Make sure you like us, follow us, whatever the correct lingo is for that respective social media, at the Dash WINT, and then message us and say, guys, I want in on the Fantasy Football Challenge, because there are only three spots left. We'll fill them in the next few days, and we will draft and kick this puppy off next Wednesday, 8 p.m., just about 6 days from today. So get in with us and let us know that you want to play fantasy football with us in the Fantasy Football Challenge, brought to you by FantasyJocks.com. Real quick, guys, I just mentioned it. I got to ask you, we haven't talked. I know it's a few days late. It's the first time that the three of us have been together all week. Did you fight last weekend?
Yeah, I actually did, and I was actually on vacation in Maryland. And my cousin actually built a projector screen out on the backyard of the house that we were running. So we got to watch it in style.
I didn't watch it, and I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, no. That was a hell of a fight. Let me tell you that. And it went exactly like I thought it did. I was with a whole group of people, and we were together for hours before the fight. And I had a couple of younger cats. I mean, and really, it was funny to see how many people thought, not only thought that Conor McGregor should have even been in this, but that he was going to win this thing so easily and so quickly. And I'm looking at people and going, this is so insulting. Seriously, the fact that this guy has a fight with Floyd Mayweather was an insult to both Floyd Mayweather and the sport of boxing, because this guy, seriously, Floyd Mayweather has worn boxing gloves since he was about 4.5 years old. He is 49-0 going into this fight. Against all 49 of those were actual, legitimate, trained, lifelong professional fighters. all of them professional boxers, plus his amateur career, everything he's done in his life, boxing, and a little bit more boxing. And this cat was going to take a three-month boxing crash course, run a little cardio in the pool. And people thought that, I mean, the octagon is small. The boxing ring is huge. It's a sweet science for a reason. And the fight went exactly like any knowledgeable person would have expected it to go. Floyd Mayweather just dissected him one round at a time. After the first couple, he let him run himself out, and he showed how great he is at what he does. And I don't even like Floyd Mayweather, but man, you have to respect him. He was so great in that fight, and he just put him to sleep and chopped him up in the last four or five rounds.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying the fact that Mayweather is a great boxer, but I think you touched on it in that speech that you just had there. I mean, I think it's personal life and his, I want to say issues, but his, you know, just the way he conducts himself. I think a lot of people liked Conor McGregor for that reason. I think it's just a dislike of Floyd Mayweather, you know, outside of the ring, because you can't do anything but respect him inside of the ring. I think there's no question.
I can't respect the man that can't read a Dr. Seuss book. I can't stand Mayweather. I hate him.
I know.
and he's never going to be. And Conor's obnoxious, but I'll give Conor this. Conor is a show. And that's what, you know, most fans want to see is a show. But Mayweather, I can't stand his show. I can't stand nothing about him. When he learns how to read how the little train could, then maybe I'll take a little bit of respect for him. But I don't respect anything with Mayweather.
And you know what? You have to respect Conor McGregor for at least getting more punches in than Manny Pacquiao. That was a stat that absolutely blew me away. I don't understand how that can happen.
Well, at the same time, the only punches that Conor McGregor got in were the ones that Floyd let him throw in the first couple of rounds. But don't worry, guys, because there will be a rematch. It will not be in the UFC octagon like some people want to say. They will have a rematch, and it will main event to WrestleMania in the next year or two. You can go ahead and put that in the books.
So you're going to let them even try to have it, but I know what you're saying, Vince. That's a cross-promotion, multi-million-dollar thing for them to capture.
Because you can put them in that environment and do anything you want with it and to the imagination of the world. I'm telling you, Floyd Mayweather's done it before. I'm telling you, Ronda Rousey's going to show up there. Conor's showing up there. These UFC guys know, and it's the truth, and this is something just even looking back in the original days of UFC, the Japanese pro wrestlers transferred over between the two. They would do a little mixed martial arts and then go back to pro wrestling and be 10 times more valuable because they've got legitimacy. Brock Lesnar did the same thing. You're going to continue to see that going the other way. You're going to see guys like John Jones, Conor McGregor. You're going to It's going to continue in the other squared circle.
So what, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but are you implying that Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are going to square off the WWE ring and Ronda Rousey is going to run interference? I just want to clarify that.
No. Ronda Rousey is going to be a full-blown professional wrestler in the next few years. There's no doubt about that. You can take it to the bank.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Fair enough.
But I'm just telling you, if you think Vince McMahon didn't already make the phone call to Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor's people and just say, hey, I'm hosting the rematch, you're crazy.
No, I agree with you on that point. That would be a moneymaker. But you really think John Jones would go too?
I'm just saying, guys that have the ability to talk the talk, when they can no longer perform in mixed martial arts, there is a place for some of them in that genre.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. We have, I believe, two other names that, you know, go by the wayside are Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock. If there's any other ones, please feel free to name, because I can't throw out any more names here. I'm drawing a blank.
No, my point is you're going to see a lot more of that here as it goes. And I'm telling you, you're going to see it in the very near future with some of those names that I just listed. Speaking of hosting things, guys, I want to shift gears there as we continue to roll on, because we're hosting this weekend the football game of the season, of the entire season, if you ask me. And it happens in only week two, when our game of the week of the high school football game of the week series, Ignatius and Mentor, two of the top schools, not just Northeast Ohio, but all of Ohio. It's Money Mayweather, Conor McGregor on the high school football field, fellas.
Wait a minute. I get what you're trying to go for here with that comparison, but based on what we just talked about, I don't think that's 100% accurate. But these are two great teams that are going to square off on even playing field here. And we only get in week two. I mean, I know we've been hyping this for what feels like, about a month, gentlemen? I think it's...
Oh, at least, because I've been looking forward to it since the schedule came out on the WINT Integrity Game of the Week.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking at the News Herald, what it has here, and last year is any indication to go by. This one is not going to be as close as I think it's going to be. At Ignatius really took it to Mentor 49-7.
Yeah, and that's not traditional of the games that these teams have, as we know. But that's last season, and it's always tough to look at the results, especially at the high school and college level. You know this, Nick, because the turnover is so much from season to season. It's more important to look at what's going on here. Each team started off their season with a victory in week one. Ignatius went down to Akron and got a victory over Hoban relatively easily, 17-3. Mentor started out slow. You and I were talking about this off the air the other day, but then they got rolling, and that offense looked much more like the traditional Mentor Cardinal offense. Seven straight possessions, and they rolled 49-14 over Maslin.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. And Tatarunas didn't exactly, he threw for two scores, but 185 yards is a bit tame, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, he did get on the ground a little bit. He ran for, 65-ish yards and a touchdown, and that's a big part of his game. He's a dual threat. And I've mentioned before on the air how much I love Tadas Tatarunas. I'm very interested in seeing how he plays against that Ignatius defense, which only gave up a field goal against Akron Hoban.
Yeah, and not only Tatarunas, but we have a two guys in the backfield that can really tear it up, and Chris Hedman and Nick Saginario, who, piling up on Maslin, 312 rushing yards. I mean, that is just... I think the phrase has been thrown around in the show enough. It's an embarrassment of riches on offense.
Yeah, and this is a matchup early on where both of these teams not only look to make a statement for against each other, of course, they've got positioning for later on in the season, but it's also such a great early season judge. Think about this, guys. A lot of times, high school, college, at the levels where you set your own schedule, how many times do you see teams take the easy non-conference games, particularly in the first week or two of the season, to give your squad a chance to play some lesser competition, or perhaps some competition that's younger and not quite as seasoned and ready for your team? An opportunity to get a win in front of the home crowd, get things feeling good leading into homecoming before you hit those harder conference schedules and playoff games. But not here. These two teams clashing heads once again. I love that when you have some of those games like this early in the season, and we'll see them all over the schedule, where two major teams butt heads early on and find out where they're starting from and what they're all about.
Well, I mean, let's keep this in mind. Mentor was going at 1,000% before the season even started. I mean, they ended their scrimmage season by playing not even a team in the same state. They played a top team in the state of Pennsylvania and came out quite a winner.
For those of you guys just tuning in, you're listening to The Dash here on the Integrity Radio Network, 101.5 FM, 1330 AM, WINTRadio.com, where you can hear the game we're talking about right now. Tomorrow, 6:30, the pregame show starts with Nick Hershey live at the studio, 7 p.m. kickoff. Mentor and St. Ignatius right here on the Integrity Radio High School Football Game of the Week. I'll be on the play-by-play. Nick Stark will be with us, but it's not the only game we're carrying tomorrow night, right, Nick?
That's right, J-Rock. We've also got Kirtland and Columbia facing off in Kirtland. That's on WINT Radio exclusively. Kickoff at 7.
You know what? We'll talk more about that. I want to hear about the teams, the broadcast team. Let's preview that one. There's several other big games coming up with the teams in our area. Let's keep talking a little high school football. Plus, we've got to update everybody at some point. We've got college football and pro football. Well, it's almost pro football. It's preseason, but you know what I mean. A lot of that to talk about. Guys, we'll be right back. And if you want to talk about it with us, 440-946-9468, 440-946-WINT, or tweet with us, Facebook us, Instagram, message us at The Dash WINT. Talking more local high school football when we come back. It's The Dash on WINT Integrity Radio.
At Pat O'Brien Chevrolet, buying a new Malibu is fast and easy. Get $3,500 off MSRP plus an extra $1,000 Pat O'Brien discount and pay just $19.6. It's that simple. Over 400 to choose from. We got them. Come get them at Pat O'Brien Chevrolet.
Dominion reminds customers to know the warning signs for a natural gas leak. If a customer smells natural gas, they should leave the house immediately and call the gas company from a safe distance away. Do not attempt to locate the leak or remain in the building. Do not smoke or use lighters, matches, or other open flames. Do not turn any electrical switches, appliances, or lights on or off. Call Dominion at 1-877-542-2630. Remember, Dominion provides 24-hour emergency service 7 days a week.
Al Salawan started his career as a movie theater usher, learning the business before opening his very first Atlas Cinemas. A true entrepreneur, Al worked hard, establishing a world-class organization. He surrounded himself with good people, providing impeccable service. All these years later, the Salawan family continues with the entrepreneurial spirit to expand his vision of independent Atlas Cinema theaters in Mentor, Euclid, Mayfield, and Elyria. Locally owned, lovingly operated. Purchase tickets for all movies at Atlas Cinemas now at self-serve lobby kiosks or online at atlascinemas.net.
Word service bantered around. At Ward's Lawn Care and Landscape, they believe their service is uniquely and soulfully suited to each customer's needs. They recognize how your personality is closely tied to your environment, so Ward's caters to your wishes. They've built their business on service and attention to detail. From lawn maintenance to patios, call George Ward, 440-942-1912, or visit wardslawncare.com. Ward's Lawn Care and Landscape. The grass can be greener on your side of the fence.
Restaurants, concerts, movie theater, shows at the IX Center. You can win tickets for these places, events, and more. Weekday mornings, 7 to 9 a.m. on The Wake Up Show on Integrity Radio, WINT, 101.5 FM and 1330 AM.
Welcome back to The Dash, live on WINT Integrity Radio, 1330 AM, the new 101.5 FM, WINTRadio.com. Jay Rock Daddy here, Jerry Myers, Nick Hershey, the Candyman, Thomas Pope back at the station, spinning the dials, and you, 440-946-9468, 440-946-WINT, at The Dash, WINT. Across social media, and we're talking some high school football because tomorrow is Friday and the Friday night lights shine brightest. Mentor and St. Ignatius High School, tomorrow is the game of the week right here across the airwaves, and it'll be a great game as Ignatius travels across town to Mentor. Myself and Pete Stark will be calling that one, but the other game we've got, Nick Hershey on the internet, WINTRadio.com.
Yeah, and first of all, Thomas, I love that intro music. That sounds like something out of NFL Films. But moving on here, moving on to the task at hand, we've got the Columbia Raiders taking on the Kirtland Hornets, and both of these teams are looking to start the season with winning streaks. As teams kind of came out, not won, but survived, as Columbia just beat Independence 35-28, but Kirtland just snuck by Chagrin Falls 14-13, despite racking up 400 plus yards on the ground. I mean, that is insane to me how Kirtland did not put more points on the scoreboard in this one.
Well, that's what Kirtland does, though. For those of you that are familiar with them, they run the football. Both of these teams' running attacks are strong. No surprise to me that Kirtland piled up that many yardage. And really, with these two teams, that's what it's going to come down to when they butt heads. This is going to be one of those games where each team lowers their shoulder and heads at the other team, and whichever team can stop the run, that's going to be the team that's going to win this one. Of course, these teams haven't played each other in a couple of years.
you know, I'd use a certain word to describe this one, but we've already kind of, we've looked it up in the dictionary on yesterday's show, and I'm not going to use that anymore. But this is going to be a real high-scoring affair, I feel like.
Oh, really? Oh, there's a potential there, but I could see this one being a lot lower scoring. If these two teams are playing on the ground, I think it's going to be more like a slobber knocker than perhaps the barn burner that you want to reference there from yesterday. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to use that word anymore because we actually defined it. And Thomas, I don't know if you were listening in yesterday, but we actually looked up the definition of a barn burner because I've been using it to death. Mm-hmm. When describing the
it has nothing to do with sports.
It does not have anything to do with sports.
Nothing to do with anything.
Why don't you know, J-Rock, you broke this down better than I ever could. So why don't you fill in Thomas or anybody else out there that didn't listen the first time that we broke that down?
I mean, it's simple. Rats. That's what it's all about.
What?
People used to have rat problems in their barns. And that was the best way to get rid of them. Was to set your own barn on fire and smoke out the rats. And honest to goodness, that's the definition of a barn burner. We looked it up. People used to have to set their barns on fire to get rid of the rat nests because they were that much of an infestation. Therefore, hence comes the term barn burner.
And it's safe to say that we won't be using that term as much or
makes
anymore.
No sense.
Yeah, no.
But here's the thing. No term is fine. I want somebody to tell me who connected it to sports or anything exciting, not just sports, but how did somebody weaponed back in the 1860s? Was there a bare-knuckle boxing match and somebody said, this was more exciting than watching them burn that barn last Friday night? And then all of a sudden, it became a thing. Barn burner. It was like the bay of the 1860s. Nobody knows where it came from, but it became a thing.
I just remember Keith Jackson saying that. That's all I'm going off of, but okay.
Greatest.
Man. But anyway, we got to keep it on track here cuz we're
Do we have to really?
We kind of do. We can't go from football to burning barns down, getting rid of
You
rats.
Brought it up, man.
I did. No. You brought it up. Man. No, that is my fault. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to yell. Anyway,
Speaking of barn burners, speaking of things that have nothing to do with burning barns, we've got other football games tomorrow, local schools. You got Euclid and Aurora. You've got the Lions of Notre Dame Cathedral Latin taking on West Geauga. That one should be a good one. We talked a little bit earlier in the week about NDCL and that thumping that they put on South the other day. That's a good one. You've got Mayfield and Massillon. I mean, there's a ton of games involving the teams out in our listening area. North travels out to take on Revere.
Yeah, and I'm especially, you know, looking forward to the North versus Revere game. I just want to see how much of the potential that North can live up to, because they have been hyped to break out this season, and they certainly did against Westlake. I mean, my goodness. They destroyed the Demons. I believe the final score was like 46-19. 46-17, and I am anxious to see where they go from here.
Yeah, that squad's been growing, coming together. I remember, was it two seasons back, I believe, when they won the Civil War at the end of the season against South, and it kind of was a surprise, and it set the tone for their growth last season, and now it'll be a lot of fun to watch them continue on throughout this year.
I remember Coach Dodd saying that he expected 2 years from now the I called for East Lake North. I can't remember who they took on, but I remember him saying that 2 years from now, watch what my program does in the pregame interview, and he's right. He's right about it.
Tansky's out there, two-sport guy, and he's got several seasons of experience now, so North's going to be interesting to watch and fun to watch all season.
Yeah, and I want to turn our attention to one of the games that you listed, J-Rock, and that would be Euclid at Aurora. Now, you know, Thomas knows that I've kind of taking a shine to Euclid, and they absolutely destroyed Glenville last week. I mean, I didn't expect this to happen, and I'm really shocked, but I'm really curious to see where Euclid goes as well.
And they beat Glenville so bad that Glenville, and this is true, they went into extra practices this week so they could not lose this week because they said
they thought they would put on a better show against Yukon. I have it on the court, my little cousin, who plays for Glenville. They've been practicing extra hard for this game because of that loss to Yukon last week.
Like, how hard? Did he give you any details?
Oh, they've been working hard. And then they've been in the weight room, too, so they're going to be nice and hyped and nasty for their next game. But that's besides the point. Yukon is putting their name out there.
Yeah, and Aurora goes into this one, might start the season off on a losing streak. Now, we talked about Aurora when they scrimmaged South. This is a very good team. And, I mean, Aurora lost, I think, Solon, and it was a nail-biter, 15-4. But, yeah, so I'm just, you know, what do you think of this one? Because these are two top teams. Do you think Euclid squeaks by, or do you think they dominate? Anybody? Thomas?
We'll give this one to Jerry.
Okay.
Oh, I've got to be honest with you. I have not had a chance to see either one of those teams play, and so I'm kind of drawing in the dark here on this one, you guys.
Okay. Well, let me give you this is last year, and Aurora killed Euclid last year, 41-13. Let me see if I can't find the week one matchup at Euclid and Glenville. And get some more stress on that.
Well, like I said, Euclid's playing inspired. we've discussed it many times already over the course of the show's birth of how the loss that Euclid had last year just inspired them to come out there and play harder. And Rodsky is just, he's got a machine out there.
Yeah, and I've sung the praises of Jeff Rodsky for a while now. But, yeah, okay, here we go. Here we go, Euclid versus Glenville, and apparently this one was really won by Euclid from the word go. The headline clearly states the first 9 minutes powers the Panthers to the win. And let me see here. C.J. Hale had a game himself, and the final score on that one was 39-21. I did not see that coming, really. And Euclid opened up a 26-0 lead. I mean, that's just uncanny.
And they've got a guy on the line that is pre-committing to Columbia.
Well, here's the thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. All right.
Well, I was just going to say, I was looking back in my notes from last season, and I had a chance to see Euclid at the end of last season, and just thinking of some of the guys that stood out to me, Arquan Bush is somebody who is just a triple threat player all the way across the board for Euclid, and Noah Mitchell as well. I think their quarterbacks were splitting time at the time that we saw them. I want to say I called two of their games last season, but either way, they were splitting time at quarterback. But Nick Mitchell's now a senior quarterback, and Ramon Collins as well, who played last week and contributed there in that one. Those are guys that I remember standing out in my notes from last season. So they definitely have some peace here, but Solon is no laughing matter over there as well.
No doubt, and I want to take a look here at NDCL versus West Geauga, and J-Rock, you've got the most experience seeing the Lions in action, of course, calling their game-opening shutout of South, or season-opening shutout of South, I mean, and just how dominant can this defense be? They're going in with West Geauga down, taking a loss in their first week, and NDCL's got all the momentum going into a new field stadium, all the momentum that they could ever wish for. And, you know, there's just something extra that comes with ruining a debut or a homecoming, as more common as we see. So, J-Rock, how do you think that they take that momentum from that game and apply it to this one? Because this defense is scary.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Manny Malone was all over the place last week. Chase down Chase Brown. I mean, Chase Brown had 3 sacks in the first 2 offensive possessions for South last week in that one. They were all over the place. Josh Peroni had a pick, had all kinds of big plays in the secondary on defense, and the kid contributes offensively. NDCL is going to be one heck of a team to watch all season long. South couldn't get anything going in the passing game, had less than 50 yards on the ground. They defensively just really put the clamps on South, who is traditionally much more wide open. And we talked earlier in the week, South was breaking in the new quarterback here. And even though he's a senior, it's the first time there for DeSanio, and he showed it with some of his decision-making there. But it wasn't just that. NDCL's defensive line just carved through the offensive line of South. And every team that plays them this season, if they don't have a strong offensive line, they're going to have trouble, because that is a strong – that's the strength of that NDCL team, which is strong all over the place, is that defensive front. They're going to get after your quarterback. They were in the backfield on every play before DeSanio even had a chance to look up and make a decision. He had pressure on him all the way. Plus, on top of that, they got the best kicker in old state of Ohio, man. We were talking about this earlier in the week. Berkick had 34 and 42-yard field goals last week. Every kick and every punt went out the back of the end zone and was unplayable. There was no return game against them. NDCL is one of my favorite early season teams.
Yeah, and their defense is going to get somewhat of a test here, as West Yaga piled up more than 400 yards last week again in their season opening win against Chardon. But again, just like the Kirtland game in week one, they only managed to get two touchdowns out of it. So, you know, I personally, I have to give the edge to the NDCL defense. I just, you know, they're already scary as it is. But again, I will say it. They have a lot of momentum just based on the environment that they were in week one.
And again, we're only 2 weeks in. Games like this all season long, we're not just going to talk about them here on the Dash each and every day throughout the week, but you're going to hear the Integrity Radio High School Football Game of the Week each and every Friday and Saturday nights when the Jackets and the Captains and all those various other teams aren't playing on Saturday nights. And you hear those games right here on the Integrity Radio Network. With our various announced teams tomorrow night, St. Ignatius and Menor live from the JTO, myself and Mr. Pete Stark on the call, 6:30. Pregame show with Nick Hershey starts live at the studio, 7 o'clock. Kickoff from the JTO down on the field.
Now, there's one more game that we should cover here, and I think it's Mayfield versus Maslin Jackson. And both of these teams come in with wins going into week one. But Mayfield only won 10-0 in a win over Lost Jesuits. I mean, the offense clearly wasn't there, but their defense has been, or was, very dominant. And Maslin went in a shootout. I'm guessing that's going to be the new word here. A 41-34. Oh, the word they use is slugfest. My apologies. Against Akron East. So I don't know what to say here. I mean, Mayfield's obviously a great team, but Maslin Jackson is one of the top programs that you think of when it comes to the state of Ohio. So let me try and get some stats here. And we have, let's see. And Joe Childers, I believe they don't organize this long enough here. I believe that's Maslin's running back here, ran for 120 yards and 2 scores. Zach Boulay had 100 plus yards this season. And Brandon O'Quinn also had 100 plus yards this season. So I think these teams are going to be, I won't say evenly matched. I think Maslin Jackson takes this one easily, but, you know, let's see, where is South here this week? South at Maple Heights. So South gets a chance to go on the road. And, you know, we've commented that this is going to be a...
And we'll see, Nick, how they bounce back from that tough one last week, South.
Yeah, I mean, we've already kind of touched on it because we covered NDCL already. But can you tell me how effective... Because I really think he's going to be the key to turn this around, because DeSanio or DiGino, didn't look like a great – he didn't look like he had the best start. I think the offense is going to revolve around Tyler Hendon in the backfield.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to be they're going to have to rely on that running game and then get some play fake going and get a little play action game going and get that passing game wide open, because – it's going to be a struggle offensively for South, which traditionally is not something to be said. And I'm interested in seeing how they develop throughout the season.
Yeah, and can you remind me again, you know, what did you see from Henderson? I know NDCL's defense kind of, you know, shut everybody down. But, you know, while we're on the subject of Henderson, what did you see from him in week one that might give the Rebels fans a bit of hope as the season progresses?
Not a lot, to be honest with you, because that defensive line was way too dominant for Notre Dame Cathedral Latin. The blocking was blown up on almost every play. There were not running lanes. The entire South offense only ran for 48 yards combined. So there really wasn't a whole lot there for me to judge in week one.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But we have to take a break here. And for J-Rock and Thomas Pope, I'm Nick Hershey. This is the Dash Extra.
Hey, guys.
Are
you gonna say goodbye to me before we go, or are you just gonna let me float away here? I know you guys are gonna do a little bit of running by yourselves here in a second.
We ain't trying to kick
Buckeyes
you out.
Are right now trailing real quick. I wanted to talk to you real quick. Arch Schleister replaced by JT Barrett for total career yards at Ohio State, but in the first quarter the Buckeyes trail Indiana 7-3, fellas.
Oh boy.
Oh. No. Not gonna
I'm going to get off here and go back to watching that one. You guys wrap things up. I know you guys are going to talk a little wrestling and some other things. Tomorrow night, I will rejoin all of you live. Nick and I will be here, as Nick will be in the studio at 6:30, and then he will toss it to myself and Pete Stark at the JTO in Mentor for the call of St. Ignatius in Mentor on your high school football game of the week. So, guys, enjoy the rest of the show. And, Nick, I will talk to you live from Mentor tomorrow.
Hey, looking forward to it, J-Rock. You enjoy that game. It's going to be a good one.
And the rest of the guys will be back after this on The Dash here on Integrity Radio.
At Pat O'Brien Chevrolet, buying a new Malibu is fast.